Yeah. Okay. Here we are on Sunday, 10-10-10. Last time this happened was 9-9-9. Wow. Okay. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. You know, our culture has acclimatized us to look to new things. We anticipate and love to have new things. We like new clothes. We like new CDs. We like new cars. We just like new. We like new, improved, better, more doodads, whistles, bells, bigger, better. That's the way our culture is. And so that's the way we are a lot of times, right? You get something and it's exciting and new and cool and different and shiny and bright and smells new and all that stuff. And then, you know, depending on what it is, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years later, you don't care about it anymore, depending, you know. And then it's not quite good enough anymore because there's something new and better or bigger or shinier or fancier. I mean, you get a new computer, right? How long does a computer last? 18 months maybe is, you know, and then all of a sudden they have bigger, faster, newer, crazier. Okay. And, you know, this kind of attitude, this whole mindset permeates our whole life. It permeates everything we do. It's always something that we want in our lives. And sometimes that gets involved in our spiritual life. And we think we need something new. We need a new idea. We need new light. We need something that we've missed. Or something that nobody knows. And, you know, there's a better way to salvation. There's a better way to receiving from God. There's a better way to do this or that. However, here's a great revelation. The new birth is always new. The new birth is always perfect. You can't improve on the new birth. How about that? Our relationship with God can always be new and exciting because all we have to do is renew our mind. We do the renewing. You can't improve on walking in God's love, except that you and I can do it more consistently in our day-by-day walk. And the principles of God's word are always good. They always work. They're always on the cutting edge of spiritual deliverance, of spiritual power. You can't get any better, any newer, any fancier than the rightly divided word of God in your life and believing. And yet, when people don't see God work in their lives, they don't think, wow, maybe I'm not believing or maybe I'm not adhering to the word of God. And so then they look for new, different ways to do it. They look for new light, for new truth. There is no new truth. I mean, the truth is the truth. It's been around forever and it'll be forever. Because that's what truth is. It's eternal. And yeah, it's new when we first learn it, isn't it? But the basic principles of God's word, we all pretty much learned or can learn in, you know, not very long period of time. Maybe an hour or two, and you pretty much got all that is necessary to live life to the fullest. Now, there are details and things that you can fill in that make it more understandable, and you see how God's plan of redemption fits together over the thousands of years and all the other stuff. But, you know, to get born again and have eternal life only takes confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. the keys on how to receive anything from God are, you know what's available, how to receive it, what to do with it after you've got it. God's willingness is equal to his ability, and wants and needs have to be parallel. Mm-hmm. There you are. And that's to receive anything from God. Anything. Giving is receiving. You know, and we are to walk in the love of God. And that whatever we do, if we don't do it with the love of God, it's not profitable. So there you are. The word of God is the will of God. God's word is perfect. God's word never comes back void. It always accomplishes what he sets out for it to do. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. The Galatians were foolish. Who hath bewitched you? Who hath tricked you? Who has enticed you away? Yeah. Who has bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the learning of faith? Wow. You know, people get tricked out of the truth. And you know, here it's, they were bewitched. We get talked out of it. We get persuaded out of it. We get pressured out of it. But here it says bewitched. You know, that's an interesting word. But what it points to is that when you get tricked out of the word, out of the truth of God's word, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual situation. It's not an intellectual situation, but rather it's a spiritual one. And you know, really, the bottom line of life is that everything is spiritual. Man's basic spiritual problem is the integrity of the word. When we don't have the integrity of the word, when we don't believe that it's the truth, we doubt it in some way, then we don't have it, do we? So we learn the truths from God's word. We learn how to receive from God. Verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? You know, did we receive Holy Spirit by keeping the Old Testament law, or by being really, 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 really good people and really doing great and wonderful and charitable works and heroic deeds? Or did we believe? We basically believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. We believed what it said in the Word, that you could receive Holy Spirit. That's how we received it. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? You know, once you have received Spirit, what have you? You have Spirit. It's perfect, isn't it? You stand before God as a perfect being. You stand before God without any guilt or shame. You stand before God holy and without blame. Unreprovable in his sight, it says, in one place in the word. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So if you've begun in the Spirit, you've been made perfect when you believed, you got born again, you were sanctified. Sanctified means you are
set apart holy.
You've been made righteous. We heard that in the manifestations. You are totally, completely clothed in God's righteousness. Wow. If you're righteous, you can't get any more righteous, can you?
Nope.
So how could you be made perfect by the flesh? The flesh continually becomes more imperfect, unfortunately. So, that's the way it goes. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? You know, how did you get born again? That's the greatest miracle of all. Because somebody taught you what to believe and you believed it. It's pretty simple. You can't achieve perfection by error. That's an amazing truth, isn't it? You can only achieve perfection by God being perfect, and he perfects you. Really, that's the only way. You can't achieve perfection by the flesh, because the flesh is always in error. It's always weak. It's always going to fall short. So we follow the Word of God. We believe. And as we believe, we will see the power of God and the wonders of God in our lives. They follow along. What does it say in Matthew? It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," or all these things will follow after. That's really what it's talking about. It's a figure or an idiom. And, you know, just they will naturally follow behind. The greater commitment to believing God's word, the greater you're going to see God work in your life. It's pretty simple. The more you become a slave to Jesus Christ, the freer you become in your life, in your walk. That's a paradox, you know, but it's true. The more disciplined you become in your walk with God, the freer you will become. Let's go to chapter 1 of Galatians. Chapter 1, verse 6. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Here Paul is, he marvels. I'm astounded. I'm amazed. I can't believe it. Marvel. He marveled at the Galatians that they were so quickly removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. In other words, they were preached to, they believed the truth that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that God raised them from the dead. They got born again. They received Spirit, not by works. And then guys came in and said, "Well, yeah, you're born again, but to really walk with God and to really get the blessings of God, you have to do the law." So they were removed from the grace of God to another gospel. However, it says, which is not another. Another gospel, which is really not another, because there's only really one true gospel, isn't there? Mm-hmm. The gospel is the good news. Well, how could it be good news that you're born again? Yeah, but you got to go now and do works. That would be bad news, actually. That wouldn't be good news. That would be bad news. Hey, you got all this for free. Jesus Christ did the whole thing. However, now you got to pay up. Oh, then it's not really free, is it? It's not of grace if you have to work for it. So it's not another gospel. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Anything other than the rightly divided word is perverting the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which should be we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And Paul said, if anybody teaches anything else, let him be accursed. It's pretty amazing. Another gospel. You know, when you first started the Word of God, did it make a lot of sense? Did to me, when I first heard the Word of God taught rightly divided, it answered questions that I had for ever and ever. It healed my heart. The innermost, it may have healed my body, but more than anything else, it healed my heart. It healed my mind. And it worked in my life and brought about results. I saw things happen. I saw things change. God's word is simple. It is straightforward. It is honest. The truth of God's word doesn't change. If it changed, it wouldn't be the truth. And it's easy to understand. We don't need new light. We need renewed minds. Renewed commitment to believe and walk on God's word. You know, we can commit ourselves and be committed, but you have to renew that commitment. You have to stay at it. You can't, it just doesn't, okay, I'm committed now. And then if you don't, it's like a car. You have to maintain it. You have to maintain that commitment. You have to guard your mind and your heart. Let's go to Matthew 22. I told some of you, or some of you around last week and have been around, I read this book about Christianity in China. And it's a contemporary book, and it's a true record of a man's life who's still alive today, and the things he went through to speak the gospel, to speak the truth of God's word. And when I read it, I was embarrassed. I was confronted. And I was inspired, because I've never really gone through anything to speak the gospel other than, you know, take a little time. And I've never gone to prison for Christ or the gospel. I've never been tortured or beaten or starved. I've never been a fugitive. I've never had my legs broken. All these things happened to this guy. He got born again in 1974. There were no Christians other than him and his family in his town and in his province. And today there are millions. Millions. Amazing. And so I started looking at the Word of God in a little bit different fashion. And one of the things I saw, years ago we used to talk about Word over the world. It used to be our goal. Word over the world. We our calling is to speak God's Word to people. And I thought it was just something that was kind of for us, you know, for the Way International, which we used to be attached to, and it was our vision. And I found out reading this book that it's God's vision. Ha, wow, how about that? Because these guys in China are not concerned about freeing China. They're concerned about Word over the world. And so they are sending out 100,000 or more missionaries, not to just China, but around the world. I thought, wow, it's amazing. So I started looking at the Word of God in a different way. Chapter 22 of Matthew. I don't need any new light. What I need to do is renew my mind. What I need to do is renew my commitment to God's Word. And determine that I'm going to live God's word, and I'm going to speak God's word, and I'm going to be my best for God and for Christ, regardless of the situations and circumstances. Chapter 22, verse 37. This is where the lawyer asks Jesus Christ, which is the great commandment? The Lord Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's a figure of speech. It says and, putting emphasis on each one, but it means your whole being with everything you have. This is the first and great commandment. This is the first and great commandment that we are to love God. That's what we are. That's our first responsibility, to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I thought about this in light of, how does God love me?
With all his heart.
You know, beyond imagination. Well, if he loves me beyond imagination, how am I supposed to love him? Like, you know, I know how I want God to love me. Well, he loves me beyond what I want him to love me. But that's how I'm supposed to love him. How I want to be loved. I mean, makes sense, doesn't it? This is the first and great commandment. Love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the most important or the greatest commandment. First, foremost, in every way. And so therefore, it's got to be numero uno in our lives. Let's go to John 3:16, and we'll see how much God loved us. Of course, we all know this. We all could repeat it. If you watch football games sometimes, you see the funny guy with the crazy hair or somebody with a placard. They always show up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, that's an incomprehensible amount of love, isn't it? But I remember reading about Lot, and Lot took in two men, actually they were angels, invited them to dinner, sat them down, fed them, which in the East is an Orientalism, meaning they're under his protection because he offered him his hospitality. Therefore, he was obligated to protect them and watch over them in every way. And then the mob came and wanted the men and were going to do horrible things to him. And Lot said, take my virgin daughters instead. So how great a commitment was just that custom in their culture. Mm-hmm. You know, and that God's love is far beyond that. He offered his son. He gave his son so that we could have everlasting life, so that we could be his sons and daughters. And so if God loved us that much, we should certainly reciprocate. Let's go to Romans 8. You know, you read about people, like I read this book about China, and these guys in the beginning didn't even have Bibles, so they didn't know a lot. And you read church history and you read about people, and many times they did phenomenal, great things for God, but they knew very little. And although we happen to probably have a lot of knowledge, more than most, it's really not how much we know, but how much we believe. And then how much are we committed to? George Mueller was a great man of God who did tremendous things. He had one theme verse that he always held on to, which was that verse in Psalms, delight thyself in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So he said, I'm going to delight my life in God and see what happens. And then miracles and signs and wonders, because he didn't seek the signs and wonders. He didn't seek to see what God would give him. He was seeking to serve God to the ultimate, to do God's will in his life. He was seeking God first. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, that's a figure of speech to emphasize nor. None of these things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, could somebody separate your love from you, if they did something mean or nasty to you or hurt you? Or, you know, we're human, so sometimes we love and then we stop loving, don't we? But nothing can separate us from the love of God. None of these things can separate us from the love. No matter what we do, God's going to love us because he made a commitment to us through his son, Jesus Christ. He loves us. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's God's commitment to us. We can't be separated from his love. What a great God. He's committed to us. He loves us. So what is the focus of our life? You know, what's the vision for our life? You know, is the vision bigger cars, bigger houses, more luxuries? Or is it, You know, whatever I do is going to glorify God and His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, that should be the vision. Is this going to help spread the gospel? All the answers we need, all the power we need, all of what God has made available, we already know and have. Our problem is not new light, new information, or anything else. It is that we renew our mind to what we already have, that we are committed to what we already know, and we're committed to believing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We need to take God's word as the truth, and then we need to believe it. We need to obey it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul commended, or actually God commended the Thessalonians. It says in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." They were thankful for these people. "Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." That's all any Christian is really needs to do, is to receive the word of God as it is in truth, the word of God, and then believe it, live it, act upon it, obey it, do what it says. And let's go back to Romans chapter 1. It says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And it's really, of Christ is not in the Greek. But if you were to look at verse 1, it says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." So it's referring to the gospel of God, the good news of God, which is concerned with the subject of the gospel of God is Jesus Christ. "For it is the power of God unto salvation, unto wholeness, unto deliverance, to everyone that believeth." So is anybody excluded? If somebody believes the word of God,
No. It's
the word of deliverance. "To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith," or believing to believing. As it is written, "The just," or the righteous, "shall live by believing." That's what God called us to do, to live by believing. Which means, you know, we live according to God's word. We believe God, we rely on God, we look to God. He's our answer, He's our all in all. So that's what I wanted to share today. There's nothing new. As Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. But we already have all we need. All we need to do is renew our minds. All we need to do is renew our commitment and stick to what we're supposed to do. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for watching over us, and we thank you that you can work in our hearts and show us and reveal the vision you have for our lives, and that we can walk out on that boldly and without fear, that we can see the greatness of your word living in our life day by day, that we can have opportunities to speak your word and let people know what a great and wonderful and mighty God you are, and that we can have a vision and a belief and a desire to see your word just cover across all of Pennsylvania, and that your word can prevail here, and that because of what we do, it affects your word going throughout the whole world. And we just thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.